And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And indeed, we are glad that you're here today as we have gathered in this place for one purpose, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we are delighted that you're here. You may note that Matt's not here doing what he normally does. He is off with 29 others. We have 30 that have gone to Caswell for the fall retreat, and they will be returning today. We want to be praying for them as their theme has been Stand Up for Jesus this week. And I know that when they come back, they'll have some things to share with us, and we're excited to hear what is going on. Let me invite you to look at the bulletin and the announcements that are there, the things that are going on, a couple of things to remind you of. This coming Friday at 7 p.m. at the Lee County Art Center on Steele Street is going to be Christmas in November, and our own Ben O'Quinn will be sharing a couple of numbers there. So if you've got some time, there's some more information on our board out there. I know that would be an encouragement to Ben. Then I'd invite you to note that and be a part of that as well. And also out in the atrium, we have still some dime banks. So if you haven't picked up your World Hunger Bank, we'll be collecting them next October. It's a wonderful time to just maybe put, we encourage everybody to put dimes in there. And I know a lot of people have gone to plastic. Well, just put $5 a week. Just write a check for $5 a week and put it in your bank every week. That'd be a roll of dimes. You'll be amazed at how much money we can accumulate and how much we can impact with that offering next year. So if you haven't picked up your dime bank, let me invite and encourage you to do that, and we would certainly appreciate that. You'll see all the announcements that are in the bulletin. There are many. I know this afternoon at 2 o'clock our men are going to be playing in the end of the they have made it to the championship, and they have to beat the team that nobody can beat, and they got to beat them twice. So I don't think prayer would be appropriate, but if you want to go pull for them, at Broadway, 2 o'clock this afternoon, they've done a good, I think they were there from like 1 o'clock until about 10 o'clock last night, and they went through all the other teams, and they've done well, and so they'll be playing there this afternoon at the Broadway ballpark if you want to go be a part of that. Are there any other announcements that need to come before us? If you're here visiting with us for the first time or you've never filled out a guest card that is in the pew in front of you, we would certainly appreciate you doing that we could have a record of your visit. We're delighted that you're here. When the offering's taken, you just drop your card in there. We'll take care of the offering. You just drop that card in there, and we're, again, glad that you're here with us on this day. And now, may we begin our worship by going into God's presence through prayer and asking God to speak to us clearly in the ways that we need to hear as we worship Him today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for the privilege of prayer and the opportunity we have to gather and to worship you. And as we move ever closer to Thanksgiving and then to Christmas, Lord, our mind turns to the many gifts that you have blessed us with, especially your Son, our Savior. And so now, Lord, as we worship you today, what do we need to hear from you, O God? Would you begin to make us think those thoughts, and to put our heart and mind in the right place that we might be receptive to what you have to say to us today? And then, Lord, give us the ears to hear. And hear us as we praise your name, and as we worship you, and as we confess to you, that we might leave this place different than as we entered. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now would you continue to prepare your heart for worship.
Page 258, O God, Almighty Father, He is real and we need to praise Him, not only every Sunday, but every day. Let's all stand. 258.
Sovereign Lord, all most holy Trinity.
Have you learned any Bible verses? I think we can do a Bible verse together. It's Philippians 4:13. If you'll say it after me, it says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that's the Apostle Paul saying he can do anything God wants him to do. Now, I want to ask you a question. What have I got in my hand? Nails. You reckon I could balance all of these nails on the head of this one? But I can't balance two? Why can't I balance two? Oh. Okay. It's not, yeah. Well, you're holding it. Don't say I'm not steady. But you're probably right. I'm not steady either, Jackson. But you know what? That verse says we can do all things. We can do all things. And there's a great image in these nails that I want to show you. I'm going to try to show you because I'm not very steady. That sometimes when we work together, when we really work together, we can do something. And that's why we do church, is to work together. So, you know, if you took nails and you put them the right way, and this is always kind of risky for the guy doing this, you know that, right? Because if it doesn't work, we'll have to figure out what we're going to say next. But anyway, we're going to hope it works. This is an old carpenter's trick, but it's pretty cool. Now, I haven't done anything except, you know, kind of put them here together, right? Whoops, see, that wasn't planned. Okay, may need to restart here. Hang on, let's restart. You hold them for me. Let's try it again. Yep, all right, we got one, we got two. And then we're going to put this one here. And I'm getting less steady all the time now that I dropped them. Okay, I'm shaking now. Jackson, are you steady? You're not? All right. We could be in trouble here. We could be in real trouble. It's working pretty good right now, though. Let's see what happens. They're going to fall? Now, who said I couldn't balance all those nails? I can I? Because there they are. But look what's happening. What would happen if I pulled one nail out? They'd all fall, wouldn't they? Just wouldn't work if one nail doesn't do what it's supposed to do, because together they're all working. Look at the big nail. The big nail's kind of church. It's God. He's the one who strengthens us. We're going to talk about that in the big sermon. And so, right now, I was glad to hear y'all go, aw, and not, ooh, that was better. Let's pray. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you that you give us strength when we need it most, and that through you we can do some amazing things. Thank you for Flat Springs Baptist Church, that when we work together as we do so often, we're able to do some amazing things. And Lord, we just want to do more amazing things for you every day. And we ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You can head out, guys. Good job. That may be the last time I try to pull that one off right there. That's... Let me invite you again to look at your bulletin and the prayer concerns that are there. I did receive word today from Mary that Michael's dad died, and so we want to be remembering the Larry Coble family in our prayers in a very special way. I'm sure there'll be arrangements made, and we want to be remembering them as we spend this time together in prayer. You see the other names that are listed here. Do remember our youth, as they will be traveling back today. And now, as we spend this time praying together, may we continue to ask God, what do I need to hear? What do I need to say? What commitment do I need to make? What sin do I need to confess? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we gather here in this place, there is such potential And Lord, we know that Deep River could be changed even more. And that neighbors and family members and friends who need the Lord still can be reached, still can know the good news. Help us as a church that everything we do might be toward that end, to carry your blessed and holy name to a lost and dying world that desperately needs to know of your salvation, of your strength, and of your song. Lord, would you be with these that we have mentioned? We especially want to lift up those that have lost loved ones and ask, oh God, that you would bless and comfort. God, go with us as we find opportunity to minister to those that are in declining health or in need of some special touch. Lord, I ask that you would bless each one with those special needs and touch them with your care. In Christ's name we pray.
Righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, Kathy. Page 464, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. We do need the Lord. And we do need to reach out to him and be close to him. Page 464, let's all stand.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, let me wave your heart with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and for this church. Please be with those who couldn't be here today. And Lord, we ask that your will be with us at all times. Please open our hearts and clear our minds so that we may receive your word. Please take this offering to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for that powerful reminder of the one we serve. And thank you, Kathy, for our need for God. And thank you, eternity, for leading us with the reminder that God is indeed real. Music, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in our service today, is so important in our process. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open with me to Isaiah. Chapter 12. I remember years ago when I started trying to play golf, and now it's years later and I'm still trying to play golf. I was on the driving range and I was hitting some golf balls, and a fella came by and saw me, you know, probably every fifth one actually got in the air. It was pretty amazing. And he asked me a question. He said, "What are you aiming at?" And I thought, aiming? Aiming? I'm trying to hit the ball. I hadn't gotten... But then he said something. He said, "If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You'll hit nothing every time." What's our aim for worship today? What if we come today saying, "God, this is where I need to hear from you"? Or have we come with no aim? This great poem from Isaiah talks about the day of judgment, a day we don't like to talk about, a day when everyone will stand and give an account. He gives us three tremendous truths that can prevent that day from being a disaster, an eternal disaster. He gives us three truths that can strengthen us and bring us joy and give us hope for living not just in that day, but today and every day. Isaiah chapter 12. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. Verse 2 will be our text. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Would you pray with me? O Lord, would you bless the reading of your most holy word and grant us understanding that we might hear from you and live differently. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is Whosoever Will, page 314. Let me invite you to mark that there. Thanksgiving is 11 days away. We're entering into a wonderful time in the life of church. It's a busy time. We ought to pray for Leonard because he's got all the plates going full tilt right now. And all those that are working with our children and youth. A time our culture calls the holiday season. And we all have heard that debate of whether to say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But for us, it's a time to do two important things. To reflect and to rejoice. If only we rejoice and don't reflect, we will not receive the full impact. Today, in verse 2 of this beautiful hymn of the Church of Israel, recorded in Isaiah 12, we find three fundamental truths that every believer enjoys and every person needs. Every believer enjoys and every person needs. The first one is God's strength. Now, I don't know, to our younger folks, have y'all ever, Macy, have y'all ever seen Popeye? The Sailor Man? You know Popeye the Sailor Man? Okay. Well, I figure she's got it, everybody's got it. You remember Popeye? Popeye, that great icon. When he got in trouble, I always wondered why he waited so long. I mean, he waited till he got bad. But what would he do? He had some kind of secret compartment. That was always what amazed me. You know, a can of spinach just in your shirt. That's pretty cool right there. You never could see it. But he would reach that thing in, and he was pretty strong to start with because you don't believe it. You go home and get a can of spinach, and you squeeze it and see if you can pop it open, okay? See how that works out for you. He squeezes that can of spinach and it always popped up just like somebody had a can opener. I mean, it was amazing how that thing would open. And he would swallow down that spinach. My wife says I eat about as fast as he did. And then he would get strong. Wouldn't it be neat if we had a can like that? The writer says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord God, that is Yahweh Elohim in the Hebrew. The Lord God. When they use that double name, they wanted your attention. to be called not just a God, but the God, the Lord God. The Lord God is my strength. Trust in one whose strength is stronger than you. We sang a moment ago about God's ability to bring us into our own salvation. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, makes a reference of the incarnation, because it is the incarnation that we have. It is the fact that as we celebrate, as we move toward Christmas, that God thought it not beneath him to leave the glory of the status of creator and become a child. And before that, a fetus. And before that, an embryo. And to develop and to grow as a human being. And yet to still be God. We call that the incarnation. And then we talk about his death on the cross being the atonement. The fact that what he did on Calvary's cross, when he laid down his life, when he gave himself up, that whoever would believe in that and believe in the resurrection would have eternal life. That is God's strength. Lewis has said that if one is being swept down a river, you don't want someone to try to save you who's in the river with you. He's right. You want someone who has one foot on the safety shore and one foot in the river far enough to reach you. And then he can grab you and pull you to where safety is. That's what the atonement is. That's what God's strength is. That's what God can do for us that no one or no thing else can do. We can give thanks because of his strength. The question comes, where are we finding our strength? Where are we trying to get our power from? Are we like Popeye, trying to find it in a good diet, full of iron and nutrition? Are we trying to find it in success? And my goodness, probably as many people as are sitting in this place would define success just a little bit different. Are we trying to find it in the things that the world says? Now, I'm not really much of an electrician, but I do know that AC, I believe, stands for alternating current, and DC stands for direct current, and that's about the end of my knowledge. But I know one more thing. Without something happening, you cannot directly plug something in that needs DC current into AC current. It will not be good for you. Or for that piece of equipment. Well, if that analogy is somewhat right, if it is somewhat correct, then what are we trying to plug our life in? Where are we trying to find our power? Maybe that's where we need to aim today. Where are we trying to find fulfillment and happiness and success? We're told that we can find it in the Lord God, in his strength. But unfortunately, the world says, no, that's not the right place. That's not the right place. You don't want to plug your life in to that boring old church scene. You don't want to go back to that old ancient book that's so outdated in 2013. You don't want to go back to that old story about a son and being born in a manger and dying on a cross. You don't really believe that, do you? Oh, yes, I do. I believe it all. I believe it fully and completely. In fact, I believe it so much that I plugged my life in right there. That's where I plugged in. That the Lord God is my strength. The Lord God. I believe the world's wrong. Oh, they polish it up really well. They package it, market it. It looks good, sounds good, smells good, tastes good. But it's not good.
It's not good. I wonder, where do we find our strength?
We are DC kind of people. We're direct current, direct to God. Don't plug your life into an AC socket of alternating current, of current that comes and goes, ebbs and flows. It's here today because it's popular, but not so much tomorrow. But instead, plug your life into the Lord God, same yesterday, today, and forever. People who try to run on different strengths or different power sources don't do too well. Dwight L. Moody, that old Chicago preacher, D.L. once was preaching, and he brought out a tumbler, and he asked a drinking glass, and he said, "How can we get all the air out of this glass?" And someone said, "Well, you could hook up a vacuum to it." And he said, "No, it's not strong enough. If you put much vacuum on this at all, you'd just collapse it." And folks offered other kind of things, and Moody said, "No, that wouldn't work." He explained why. Finally, after many suggestions, he very quietly picked up a pitcher of water he had under the pulpit, and he poured the water, and he filled the glass. And then he explained, "That's how you remove all the air." You see, our life is kind of like that empty glass. And the world's trying to fill us up with so many different things. But when we allow God to fill our life, to fill our life, to become our strength, to become that one that has one foot in safety and one foot in the river, then we can do the second part of our text today. We can begin to sing a new song. I remember back when I first listened to Bill Cosby. I'll tell you how long ago it was. I listened to him on my 8-track tape. Now, does that tell you something? That's been some time ago, isn't it? And I had the best of Bill Cosby on 8-track tape. And I remember that Bill would tell those stories about all the neighborhood kids. And he said sometimes that they'd be walking down dark streets. And when they were walking down dark streets, they were afraid of monsters. They'd go watch the monster show. He said, "We sat through 3 scenes of Frankenstein." I said, "I never saw the monster once. 3 runnings of it. Never got up from under the chair." He said, "But boy, we'd go to those movies and we'd see those monsters, and then we'd have to walk home and it'd be dark in the city. But we all knew, everybody knew that as long as you had your music with you, the monsters couldn't get you. So we'd be walking down the streets going, singing their little, they weren't very good. But your music kept monsters away." There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. I love what he says in our text. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust him and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song." You remember the song we sang? I was going to get us to sing it today. It's not in our hymn book. We need to write Broadman and tell him to fix that. I bet you all know this song. "There's a new song in my heart." What's the next verse? "Since the Savior..." Maybe you don't know this song. Well, I'm not going to sing it. "There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. There's a new song in my heart. 'Tis a heavenly harmony. All my sins are washed away in the blood of Calvary. Oh, what peace and joy nothing can destroy." And now, do you know the last line? What is it? You don't know it. Well, I'm glad we didn't sing it, Leonard. That would have been a disaster. The last line says, "There's a new song in my heart." There's a new song in my heart. You know what I've got a sneaking suspicion of? I'm going to challenge me with it, and if it challenges you, then so be it. I just wonder if some of us today, I wonder if I've come in today, and I'd say, "No, there's an old song in my heart." Not a new one, an old one. An old one that I don't sing very much anymore. It's there. I got it. I got that old song. But it's not a new song. Do we have a new song? Is our walk with God growing every day? The music that we sing each Sunday, oh, it thrills me. I look forward to it. I look forward to it more than I can tell you. I love to hear our instruments play. I love to hear you sing. I love to hear our choir. I love to hear all of our groups sing. Because music stirs our spirit. And Isaiah was right. When we allow God to be our song, when we allow God to be what stirs us, and when our song becomes new, a new song in our heart, it's like a child growing up and doing something for the first time. I bet some of us had those baby books when the first rollover took place and the first sit-up and the first standing and the first step and the first words, and on we record those milestones in our life. And we're always excited and we call and say, guess something new the baby did today. Are we growing in our faith? It's interesting to me. I didn't know this, but the first time a voice was ever sent through the waves was on December the 24th, 1906. That was the first radio signal. And the first thing they did was to read Luke 2. Let me read for you. On Christmas Eve, 1906, from his workshop in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, Fessenden sent the Morse code message, Reginald Fessenden was the one that did it, of CQCQ, and that alerted all the ships at sea to expect an important transmission. When you sent that code, CQCQ, then they would gather all the folks around, all of the leaders of the ships, everybody would come, and the officers, and what Fessenden wanted was a crowd. He wanted a crowd. And so they all gathered around in their shipboard radio shacks, waiting to hear the important Morse code message, because that's all those wires had ever done, was send those dots and dashes, those clicks. But what they heard was the sound of a human voice. Fessenden, at this moment, spoke for the first ever a vocal radio broadcast. He read from Luke 2, including, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill." And then he played "O Holy Night" on his violin. And that was the first radio broadcast. We might argue how far it's gone in radio since then. But this is the part I wanted to read. It says, now imagine all these officers, captains, and all these folks that are there gathered around listening for what they thought was maybe a global message. Maybe war had broken out. Maybe there was a tremendous storm coming. Something they needed to hear. When they heard the first time coming through those wires and that transmission, it says those who were listening that night were no less stunned than if a tree had talked to them. Earphones that had only carried Morse code were now communicating the full range of sound. And I like that last part, the full range of sound. I wonder if God is speaking to us, if our song is God's song. If we could say today, Lord, what I really need before I leave today is newness in my faith. We talk about renewal. We talk about rededication. We talk about reengaging. I wonder if today we need to say, Lord, I don't need an old song. I need a new song. And finally, when we have God's strength and God's song in our heart, we're granted God's salvation. to not be afraid. I like what he says in the very beginning of that. In verse 2, he says, I will trust and will not be afraid. I don't like to be afraid. Do you like to be afraid? I was getting a little nervous when I dropped those nails there a minute ago, and I noticed that all of a sudden my hand wasn't quite as steady as it was. You ever? I don't like to be afraid. I don't like to be in that position. I wonder today if there's some spiritual fear in the house. I wonder if someone is here today saying, you know, I really don't know what my relationship with God is. I've kind of just played around the edges with it an awful lot. But when I look at my life, I don't see a lot of fruit. I see a lot of change. I don't see a lot of evidence. And sometimes when I'm really laying in bed at night and I'm really thinking those deeper thoughts that I don't ever communicate with any other person. I just think them. Not sure. Maybe there's someone here today who says, I am sure. I know I'm not where I need to be. I know my life's not what God would have it to be. I know I'm not walking the walk God would need me to walk. It's not good to be afraid. David Harrell wrote a book of his father, Edgar Harrell. Edgar was one of the 300 survivors of the sinking USS Indianapolis, the last U.S. ship sunk by enemy contact during World War II. 600 of the 900 men who survived the ship sinking were stranded in the water for 5 days. 5 days, many of them with only a life vest, facing thirst and hunger, injuries, dehydration, and sharks. They came face to face with fear. Edgar wrote these words. Clearly, there were no atheists in the water that day. Gone was the contemptible attitude of pride that deceives men into thinking there is no God, or if there is, they don't need Him. When a man is confronted with death, it is the face of Almighty God he sees, not his own. We were all acutely aware of our Creator during those days and nights. Are we acutely aware of our Creator? When we're acutely aware of Him, our fear is gone. We can give thanks because salvation will remove fear. When one comes and puts their faith and trust in that atonement, that thing I can't understand or explain, but oh, I believe it with all my heart that what Christ did was enough for all of my sin, all of your sin, all of everyone's sin. Today, 11 days before Thanksgiving, I'm thankful that my strength and my song and my salvation is in God. It's in God. I'm grateful for a new song in my heart. I'm grateful for one who has one foot on heaven's shores and put one foot on earth when He put on flesh and came and walked among us and can pull me into heaven's glorious doors. And I'm grateful that in my weakness He's made strong. We're about to pray. What has God said to us today? What choice needs to be made? What decision needs to be made? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we sing, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Your congregation at Flat Springs Baptist has gathered on this day of worship. We have sung praises to you and we have prayed to you, O God. We have given our offering to you, O God. We have brought our families to you, O God. And now we're about to leave. And it's time for us to make choices, decisions about what you've said to us as we have praised you, of how we'll live our life, whether we'll be resting on an old song that seems to have little impact, or today we'll be praying God for a new song. Whether we'll be resting on the strength of this world or on your strength, O God. Whether we are in need of or whether we are proclaiming your salvation in our life, we ask, O God, that you might make us thankful people. And may every choice, every decision that needs to be made today, whether public or private, O God, be done for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 314. Whosoever will. This morning, if you need to make some public decision for our God, then we want to invite and encourage you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave this place, make sure we have that conversation we need to have with our God and make those choices that would cause our walk this week to be sweeter and closer than ever before as we stand together and sing. Next Sunday evening at 6:30, please remember that time at 6:30, we'll be gathering for our Thanksgiving service here in our sanctuary. I think it's going to be a very meaningful time, so I hope you'll even now be planning to do that. We moved the time to make it kind of a little closer to our Awana folks, so they wouldn't have to go home and come right back. Maybe we're going to try to bridge that little bit of time so they can stay and be a part of that with us as well. But I know it's going to be meaningful. There's going to be some unique history that's going to be shared with us about this community and our church. And so I know you'll want to be a part of that as we gather together on the Sunday before Thanksgiving to offer special thanks. So plan that as a part of your worship next week. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all these people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you go with us now as we depart from this place with a new song in our heart, with strength that has been renewed because it has been connected to you, and Lord, with the joy of salvation that has come through your Son and our Savior. In His name we pray.